Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Good morning. It's Christmas time, and I'm wearing my festive plaid. Anybody else got some festive clothes on? There's not enough red and green out there. Very disappointed. I expect better next week. Christmas is a great time. My family, it's a pretty big thing. I married into a family. My wife's mother would have a Christmas tree up on Halloween and sing carols to the trick-or-treaters. So in our home, Christmas begins right at the beginning of November, and it goes hard until the end. And so it's been a tough one this year because we actually moved houses yesterday, and so we weren't able to set up Christmas in the old house, and so it doesn't really feel like Christmas is here yet because we're at home that doesn't have that feel and no lights or tree or any of that. So my wife basically made the deal with me that we have to extend it another month after to make up for the lost time. And so if you want to celebrate Christmas in February, come on over to our house. It's going to be happening. And so, that's what it looks like for us. But growing up for me as a child, Christmas wasn't as crazy as it was for my wife's family. It was more low-key. I come from a Dutch background, so we'd open gifts on Christmas Eve. And we'd only get a couple gifts each. I have two older sisters, so there's the three of us and my parents. And the tradition every year was that we got a couple gifts each, but then there was one combo gift that was given to all three kids. It's usually a bit of a bigger gift and a bigger deal. And so this one particular year, I'll never forget, because of the gift that we were hoping would be that combo gift. And so the time came for us to open it up, and the three of us grabbed and ripped the paper off, and as that wrapping paper came off the box, and the big reveal happened, we saw an original Nintendo with Super Mario Brothers, Duck Hunt, and the Duck Hunt gun. Quack, quack. Love knocking those guys out of the air. So it was just, we were elated. It was fantastic. We couldn't believe this was happening because if you knew my parents, the fact that we even had a TV in our house was a huge victory. So it was great. But know that all our friends had Nintendos like 2 years earlier. This was coming quite late for us. So we played this Nintendo and gave so much time to this Nintendo. And it was great. We loved the Nintendo. But there's a little problem. When you have three kids in the family and two controllers. And so this gift from my parents completely removed all peace from our home. It was constant fighting, constant, my turn, he played, she played, and it was not good. It was tearing our family apart. Me and my sisters, we wouldn't even look at each other at the dinner table. It's a little extreme, but it was bad. It was bad, and it actually got to the point where we woke up one morning that summer, so not even a half year later, and the Nintendo was gone. It had been replaced by a VCR. Which was also bought like 5 years after it was invented because my parents were that far behind. But we got a VCR. We could put our tapes in there and watch our movies. Make sure you rewind it before you return it to the store. So this was a gift. It's nostalgic, is it not? You guys are loving this. So this gift did not bring peace to our home. And all that, I've got a great story to tell you, to twist it around and let you know we are going to be talking about a gift that does bring peace. And that gift this Christmas is Jesus. And so I'm going to speak to you about a few different parts of that. But first of all, let me begin with Isaiah 9:6. I love this scripture. It says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." I love that title for Jesus. This prophecy, 700 years before Jesus was born, about his coming and who he was going to be and what he was going to bring. Let me pray for you. Jesus, we thank you so much for this time that we have to come together as your family, as your body, Lord, to come and worship and praise and pray and learn and just be open to what you have for us this morning. We thank you that your presence is here with us and that you want to speak to our hearts God. I pray that as I share from your word, Lord, that your word will just penetrate into our soul, into where we are at this morning. Whoever is in here, no matter what journey we're coming from, God, that your word and your truth will just speak to us and encourage us and bring change and transformations to our hearts and to our minds, God. So we ask you to do that this morning as we walk into this together. In your name, Jesus, amen. So first I want to share with you about how we can receive peace with God. Romans 4, 23 to 5, 2 says this, "And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit, it was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. He was raised to life to make us right with God. Therefore, since we have made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserving privilege, where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory." Paul is writing this. He preceded this text talking about Abraham and his faith and how his faith justified him. And then he goes on to talk about how our faith, if we have faith in God, if we have faith in Jesus and his death and his resurrection, we are justified by that. We are no longer sin between us and God. We don't longer have a barrier between us and God. Jesus' birth and his death and his resurrection is what allowed us and allows us to have relationship with God. This was shown in a big way at Jesus' crucifixion when the temple curtain was torn in half from top to bottom. That was a representation of us no longer having to go through the temple, go through priests and all this stuff, all these steps, because sin was in the way. That's all gone. That's all gone. We have full access to God anytime we want. We can talk to him anytime we want. We can be in relationship with him, just us and him. Because of Jesus, we have peace with God. And this peace with God that we receive when we have faith in him is powerful. This peace brings life. It brings wholeness. It brings meaning and purpose to our lives. Lives that that don't have meaning are now meaningless. Or look at that. Don't quote that one on Twitter. Lives that are meaningless now have meaning. Lives without purpose, we now have a plan because of Jesus. When we have faith in God, he gives us direction. He gives us purpose. He has a plan for every single one of us. Great plans. Plans that will prosper us. We just need to have that faith and believe in what he has done for us. We can have that relationship where we can talk to him anytime. He is there for us. Colossians 1:20 says, "And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross." When we begin relationship and have faith with God, we make peace with him. And it is a powerful thing. It'll change our lives because we're no longer directionalists. We have direction. We have focus. And we have purpose. And it's good, good purpose. It's good things for us. Along with that peace from God, we can have peace with each other. Matthew 5:9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Jesus teaches this on the Sermon on the Mount in the Beatitudes. And blessed basically is saying happy. Happy are those who are the peacemakers. When we bring peace and we have peace in our relationships, it brings happiness. And that's a very obvious thing. If you think of any relationship you have that there is no peace in, there's strife and there's tension, there's nothing happy about that. There's nothing good about that. That's a burden that is on us all the time. And then when we make peace with each other, that burden is removed. It changes everything. You think about your relationships. Peace in a relationship takes so much off of us than when there isn't peace, when there's strife. When there's peace between us, there is a lack of fear, an atmosphere of safety and comfort. And most of all, which I love, when there's peace in our relationships and peace between us, there is unity. And unity is powerful. Unity, especially in the church, is powerful. God's kingdom will grow and move even faster and greater when there's unity in the body. And that unity comes from peace. We find peace in our relationships when we show each other grace, forgiveness, love, and sacrifice. Sacrifice is one of the hardest things to do when finding peace in relationship. Because usually there isn't peace because we want to win. Or we want to be the one who's right. We don't want to let go of whatever we need to let go of in order to find peace in that relationship. Sacrifice. We need to learn how to sacrifice to find peace. What's amazing about those four things, grace, forgiveness, love, and sacrifice, is it's really exactly what Jesus showed us on the cross. He showed us that forgiveness and love. He sacrificed so that we can have relationship with God, and now we can have peace with him and peace with each other. What's even better about the fact that we can have peace with each other is the power that peace has for those around us. If we are instruments of peace in all that we do, in our workplaces, our schools, our families, just our everyday living, the grocery store, wherever you go, if we are people of peace and we make peace in our relationships and peace in the situations we're in, people see that. We get to be a reflection of the character of God in everything that we do. I think sometimes we look at things and we go, yeah, okay, well, the world needs peace and I want to be able to bring the world peace. And we're like, well, I guess I need to start this big nonprofit and do this big thing and create this website. And, you know, we feel like in order for us to make a difference, we have to do something big to make that difference. And there's nothing wrong with that kind of thing. But really, peace is so simple for us just to act out in our everyday life. And when we act that out and we live that out and we bring that peace to all of our relationships, people will notice. Those who don't know God will go, what is different with that person? How do they bring that peace in here? And where is that coming from? Because I've never seen that. Not to that extent. And they'll want to know. And you'll get a chance to say, well, that peace is from God. I have peace with him and I get to share that peace. And you can experience that peace too. It's powerful, the impact that we can have by just having peace in our relationships. So through Jesus, we can have peace with God. We can have peace with each other. But lastly, and what I want to put the most focus on, is that we can receive the peace of God, a peace of mind. John 14:27 says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Through Jesus and his work on the cross, we get to receive this peace from him. And it's a peace that is so much bigger than any kind of peace the world tries to give us. I honestly feel like our journey in life is us just constantly trying to figure out how to find peace. Because the opposite of peace is fear, anxiety, worry, being just uncomfortable. No one likes those feelings. No one lives their life going, how can I make myself more scared and anxious? This is going to be great. You know, we're really constantly seeking peace for our lives. The problem is that we so easily go to the world to find that peace. Where do we go to find this peace? Do we look to money? Is money a place we go to find peace? I know that's a trap that I get sucked in so easily. Because we can just go, well, you know, if I just made a little bit more, if we just had that much more, then we'd be able to pay off those bills, or then we'd get out of debt, or then we'd have a bigger house, and then we'd find peace. Because there's no worries now that we can pay those bills. Are we looking for peace in money? Are we looking for it in success, in substances, in relationships? We so easily look for peace in relationships before we go to God for that. And there's nothing wrong with relationships. Relationships are great. I love people. I love friends. I love relationships. They're awesome. But are we looking to those people for that peace instead of looking to God? Are we relying on them to bring that peace? And what do we do when that relationship falls apart? Do we look for peace and possessions? Are we trying to collect the newest, greatest, shiniest thing? Well, if only I just have that new iPhone, or if only I have that new car, then things will be better. Then I'll find that peace. Do we look for it in other people's affirmation? Do we overwork ourselves just so other people will think good of us? Is that where we're looking for peace? I know I've done that, and I've been there. I've looked for that peace in those ways. And I want to share with you guys a little bit this morning from my story. Forgive me if I get a little emotional. I've had to have Kleenexes on me this morning. About 6 months ago, or maybe more than that, it was about the end of May, I entered a season of my life that was probably the hardest season I've ever walked through in my life. Never been through anything like this before. Life was busy, life was full, and I woke up one morning and I was feeling like a lot of like pressure and tension on my chest. And that day, the next day just started to get worse and worse and worse. And I was really starting to get worried because about a month earlier, I had had an ECG because I have a heart murmur, and doctor just wanted to make sure everything was okay. And so I'm feeling this on me, and I'm going, what is going on? Maybe it's something with my heart, and started to get really worried. And thought, okay, maybe I should get this checked out eventually. And so it started to get worse and worse and worse over the course of about 4 or 5 days. And it finally came to its peak when I was at Costco, which makes sense because anyone in Costco would have chest pains if you shop there. I was in the parking lot with my boys, and we were loading up the van, and it got to the point where I just couldn't take it anymore, and I started to lose my breath, and I couldn't breathe. And I got really scared, and I said, I don't know what's going on. That tipping point where, like, I had to go to the hospital. We all know that point, right? it was that point. I had to go to the hospital. And so I threw my boys in the van, and we just started to haul toward the hospital. And we went as fast as we could, but if you've ever driven Langley, you know you're not going to get anywhere fast. So once we got through the traffic and 5 trains, we finally got to the hospital, and I didn't even think I was going to make it. I thought I was going to faint or pass out. I had the windows rolled down, getting the cold air on my face. I'm literally like crying out to God. I'm like, God, just get me to the hospital. Just get me there. I don't know what's going on. Let us not crash. And my boys are probably in the back going, what is going on with Dad? This is like, he's looked like this after Costco before, but not that bad. And so we finally get to the hospital. I park. I didn't pay. Forgive me. Sorry. I was panicked. And I just grabbed my boys and I ran into the ER as quickly as I could, sat down at the nurse's station, and I was just like, I can't breathe. My chest. I was just so scared. I was so worried. I had no idea what was going on. And I had my boys there with me, and I'm just feeling so helpless. So I called my wife, obviously, and I called up Luke, and Luke came and picked up the boys and took them home for me. I sat there in the ER, and I had to wait quite a while to get in, and I had a lot of time to think. I also learned a quick lesson, really, about how to get into the ER quickly. A lady came in after me, and she was rolling on the floor. She was crying out, and I know she was bothered by something, but she put on a show, and she got in fast. And so next time I'm hitting the ground, I'm yelling, I can't feel my legs, or whatever you need to do, and I'm getting in there quicker. So I'm glad I learned that in that moment. So it was quite the time in the ER there. And I finally got in, and they did all these tests on me and everything you had to do, x-rays, all that stuff. And the doctor came back to me after they got all the results, and she said, there's nothing wrong with you. You're totally healthy. We checked your lungs, your chest, your heart. Everything's fine. You can go home. I was like, okay. Awesome. It's going to be fun trying to figure out what this is. And so I went home and I ended up seeing my doctor, my family doctor, a couple days later. And he said to me, he said, oh, well, what actually happened was that you had an anxiety attack. An anxiety attack. And I'd never experienced anything like that before. It was very, very, very scary. And it's just a feeling of just being totally out of control. And so my doctor was like, yeah, it was just an anxiety attack, really, because I thought it was a heart attack. Just an anxiety attack. But if anyone knows or has experienced anxiety before, you know it's not just an anxiety attack. When you're dealing with anxiety and it's something that is just overwhelming you, it's scary, it's lonely, it's confusing, it's draining, and it's handcuffing. It was hard. The problem is I approached it as just anxiety. So I kept going through the whole summer thinking, oh, I'll just slow down. I'll take a break, balance my life a bit more. It'll go away. But it didn't. It just kept getting worse. And I battled it alone in a way. I talked to people about it, but I thought I could figure it out myself. And it finally got to its peak at the end of the summer. And this is what I really hated the most about it. Because it got so bad that I didn't feel like myself. If you know me, you know that I'm a pretty joyful, easygoing, outgoing person. And I got to the point where I didn't want to be around people. I just wanted to go to my room and lie in my bed. I didn't feel like Reuben. I felt like a ghost, and I hated that. It was really hard. It was just taking over my life. And so finally, at the end of the summer, my body finally had enough because I wasn't dealing with it properly. I got really sick over the course of like 5 or 6 days. I was at home. I couldn't leave the washroom. I was supposed to do the Ride to Conquer Cancer that weekend, and I couldn't do that either, and that was really hard. And I think all of those things coming together, finally, something clicked in me. I said, I need to deal with this more than just trying to do it on my own. And so because of great friends, a great wife, great Pastor Doug, who walked with me through a lot of it, I was able to start learning more. I started seeing a counselor, started to look at my life and who I was more, started to learn more about anxiety and what anxiety is all about. And it's amazing when you start to learn things, things become more clear. And I started to deal with what I needed to deal with. And ultimately what I figured out was that I didn't know what to do with the things that I had no control over. Especially the things that were most important to me in my life. My kids, when they got sick. My wife or my family. My family was going through some tough stuff. My work, whatever it was. When I was out of control of those things, I didn't know what to do. And I knew, I'm a pastor, I know, well, God's in control, right? Go to him. But the head knowledge is a lot different than the heart knowledge. And I wasn't going to him. I was in this downward spiral. And I wasn't grabbing onto him. I wasn't reaching out and really, truly trying to fully seek out what he can do for me and the peace that he has for my life. And so there's a scripture in that season I want to share with you that was really has anchored me through all of this that I want to share. And I hope that if you're in that place right now, that this is something that will speak to you and encourage you. It's Philippians 4:6-9. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and praiseworthy. Keep putting into practice all you learn and receive from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. My problem was that I was allowing my thoughts to go to a place of lies, go to a place where I was thinking things that were so not true. I was catastrophizing things. The smallest thing would happen, and in my mind, it was the biggest thing. The world is going to fall apart. Everyone is going to die. Like, that was my thought life. So this anxiety would creep up, and I would be thinking in these extremes. And when I came to the scripture, even though I had read the scripture many times in my life, it was that moment where it hit me for real. And I said, I'm going to do this. Because in the moments of chaos, in the times that we feel out of control and we lose sight of the truth, we must set our eyes on Jesus. He needs to be the one we go to and that we find our peace in. Paul says in the scripture, we need to talk to God. Talk to him. We can, because of what Christ Jesus did for us. Because of the cross, we can talk to him. Tell him what we need. It seems so simple, but I sat down and I said, Jesus, I need you. I need peace. I need peace. Because when you're in those times, when you're deep in that anxiety, you feel lost. You feel out of control. You feel in darkness. And I needed to cry out to him and say, I need peace. And then Paul goes on to say, after you say to Jesus what you need, be thankful. Be thankful. Think of the good things he has done. Take a bigger look. I was able to go, God, thank you for my life. Thank you for my wife, my kids, my family, my church, my job. I've got a house, a roof over my head, food, everything that I need. I live in the most beautiful place in the world. A little biased, but that's what I believe. And I have all these things to be thankful for. And when you start to do that, you start to kind of step back and really see your circumstance. I was able to be like, wow, actually, what I'm thinking in my mind isn't as big as I thought it was. We go to God, we tell him what we need. We are thankful, and it changes our perspective. Paul says that when we do that, his peace will guard our hearts and our minds. And then he says to change our thoughts. We need to change our thoughts. I was allowing my thoughts to look at the wrong things, the things that weren't true. We need to put them on the things that are true. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and praiseworthy. When we change that mindset and put our thoughts onto those things, it just brings so much light and starts to lift us out of that place of darkness and anxiety. And then he says to practice. We got to practice. We got to do this over and over and over again. It's a discipline. We don't just say this once and suddenly the anxiety and the worries and the fear just go away like that, like some magic potion. It's something that we need to do over and over and over again. When I first started to do this and started to walk through the scripture and started to go to God for these things, I would allow myself to get so deep into this path to being anxious and worried and thinking in these extremes that it was so hard to come back out of it. And what I learned was that the more I did this, the more that I was able to recognize and stop before I got into that deep place. And I was able to go, no, wait, wait, wait. I need you, God. I need to go to you. I need to give you my fears, give you my anxiety. I need to be thankful. I need to get a new perspective and put my thoughts on you. And the quicker I learned to do that, and more I did it, the less I got down that deep path into that darkness. And it's changed everything for me. And I know what it feels like to be in that darkness. I've never, ever been in a place like that before. To be honest with you, there was a point in my in this journey where it was so bad that I thought, if this isn't going to change my life, I don't want to keep living. I don't. You know, I'm 30 years old. 31 now. I kind of lied there. And you know, God willing, I got another 50 plus years on me. If it's going to look like this, I'm not doing it, God. It was hard. And it still is hard. But because of his peace, because I can go to him, it's changed everything for me. I honestly feel like a completely different person. I feel like Reuben again than I did three months ago. And he's revealed to me so much about myself. And a lot of it is that I was going to other things for that peace too. And I've learned to go to him. So if you're here this morning and you're experiencing chaos, fear, anxiety, worry, if your life feels like it's out of control, that is purposeless, and you're looking to other places for that peace, I'll tell you right now, you can find that peace today, this morning, here, through God, because of what Jesus did on the cross. You can have relationship with him. You can go to him. There's no barrier, and he can bring that peace to you. So don't hesitate. If you are in that place this morning, take your chance now and receive that peace. Because it's here for you, it's powerful, and it is a peace that nothing else can bring you except God. It's all right with you. I'd love to pray and pray for you all this morning. Please join me. Jesus, we thank you so much for your peace. We thank you so much for your love and for how we are your children. Because of what you've done, we are your children. We no longer need to worry about fear and anxiety, but we get peace as your children, Lord. Jesus, I just pray right now for anyone who's in here who may not know you, who may be in a place where their life feels purposeless, where they feel like they're just in a downward spiral. They feel chaos and fear and anxiety, and they need something to grab onto, Lord. I pray that you just move in their hearts right now, God, that they will take that step of faith toward you and grab onto you and begin relationship with you so that they can experience that peace that you have for them, God. I pray for those of us who need to be peacemakers in our relationships, God. I pray for anyone who may have a relationship that they know needs to have peace but isn't, that they will take that first step to bring peace to it, Lord. I pray that as we go out into our world, into our everyday, that we'll be people of peace, that we'll reflect God's character and be light in the darkness. There's so many people who are in darkness, and we need to share your peace with them. It is our job. It'd be cruel for us to hold on to that peace and not share it, Lord. So allow us to do that. Give us the courage. And lastly, Lord, I just pray for anyone who's here this morning who feel exactly how I felt 3 months ago. I pray that you just come right now and you just bring your peace to them, that you just cover them in your love and your grace and your peace. And just bring change. God, change our minds and our hearts. We can trust in you and live for you and be freed from the fear and anxiety that traps us. But we can walk in faith and truth and love and your peace, God. I just ask all of this in your mighty and powerful and loving name, Jesus. Amen. Have a good week, and we'll see you guys next Sunday for love.